Good morning, Camp CC. Hallelujah. One of my favorite parts of the Bible is when Jesus walks into the synagogue and quotes Isaiah. Talks about how he's come to set the captives free.
That we release. There's an anthem of free. When you know what you've been rescued from, worship fills your lungs. It's the sound of love redeemed. Lift your
in you, Lord. So, Lord, this morning we just surrender anything that we are holding on to and anything that's preventing us from having complete intimacy with you, God. And may we worship you, Lord, with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul, and give it all to you, Lord. Our Christ, our cornerstone, we give you praise.
We're alive, the Messiah, who traded heaven's glory for a cross. Spotless lamb, roaring lion, became the resurrection for us all. There is only one God. One King who reigns over everything, and His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus, and one life, one hope, the Christ.
the cornerstone. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. Our high priest, great redeemer, his blood is torn the veil and made a way. Reconciled to the Father. Now born we approach the throne of grace. There is only, come on, one God, one King, who reigns over everything. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And one life, one hope, the Christ and the cornerstone.
Sing it out, church. Our God
really focus on these words. Oh, our God is an awesome from heaven. Our God is an awesome God. He raised from heaven above with His own power. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He raised from heaven above with His own power. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He raised. Sing it out. From heaven above, somebody love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God.
Romans chapter 11 says, "For from Him and through Him and for Him are all things. To Him be the glory forever. Amen." I lifted up words.
Lord, I just pray that we would cry out to you this morning. You would remind us of your beauty, of your hope, of your joy, of your peace. I'm gonna sing till my heart starts changing. Oh, and I'm gonna worship till I mean every word. Cause the way I feel and the fear I'm facing doesn't change who you are or what you deserve. Would you join me? I give you my worship, cause you still deserve it. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. I pour out your praises and blessing and breaking. You're worthy, you're worthy, you're worthy of my song. On a
forever
mountain, in a valley,
you're
worshiping the waiting for you,
God. Whoa. I'm gonna live like my King is risen. I'm gonna preach to my soul that you already won. And even though I can't see it,
stop singing your praise.
Yeah.
Camarillo Community Church, isn't he worthy of it all today? Amen. He's just so good. Well, welcome. My name is Jacob Salas. I am the associate preaching / middle school pastor / the discipleship director here at this church, and I am so privileged to be with all of you guys here today. I just love the words of Ephesians chapter 3 when Paul is describing the insights into the mysteries of God that he's been given. He says that he's been given those things for the preaching of the gospel to the Gentiles, and that this is a grace given to him. And what a tremendous blessing it is. I would dare call it a grace given that I get to stand before you guys today and open up the Word of God with you guys today. And I just truly see it as a blessing. And so I'm so excited for the Word. But before we get into that, I want to let you know that if you're a visitor in this place today, if you find yourself here at Camarillo Community Church for the first time or maybe the first couple of times, I want to let you know that you're at a place where we value the Bible, that this is a core value of ours, that we are a church that puts the Bible over everything. We seek to submit ourselves to the Scriptures, and secondly, we desire to be a church that is welcoming to everyone. So no matter where you come from or who you are today, know that Camarillo Community Church is a place where you can call home. And lastly, we desire to see community impact everywhere. We desire that Jesus would leave the four walls of this church and that he would impact lives in every single corner of planet Earth, and that we would help facilitate that mission here on this earth with the time and resources that we've been given. Well, yeah, amen. What a great mission. Now, we're going to go ahead and we're going to jump into the Word of God, but before we do that, I want to have a little bit of fun. How many of you guys know that you guys can have fun at church? Okay, yeah, amen. I wasn't raised in church, so church has always been a place where I wanted to be, and so it's always been a fun thing for me. But we're going to go ahead and we're going to start it off just a little bit fun, and I'd like to ask you guys just a silly question, right? And you guys can go ahead and shout out to me, and I'll, you know, try to gather as many responses as I can. But if you were to win the lottery, like today, or maybe you were to come into a great sum, like you figured out that you were the long-lost heir of some, you know, rich, you know, business mogul, and you came into a large sum of money, what would you spend it on? Okay, that's a great answer. What was that? Tithing. Okay, man, we got a spiritual group here. Okay, any other answers we heard? I heard tithing. I heard Jesus. Travel. Okay, I heard missions. Anybody else? Okay, a boxing gym. Okay, that is so cool. Man, I just love seeing your guys' hearts shine out here. It's so great, so amazing. I would love to see some kids hit each other here in Camarillo. That sounds like a wonderful thing. But, you know, I think if we were being honest with ourselves, right, I heard a lot of great answers, and I just love you wonderful saints who have such a great heart for the Lord. But I think if we were being honest with ourselves, that many of us, if we were to come into a great sum of wealth, that many of us would probably, and myself included, spend a great deal of it on our own selfish desires, right? That I would probably buy a house, maybe several houses, probably buy a house for my mom, and I would spend that money on all things that I want and all things that I desire for myself. And I think if we're being honest with ourselves, that's where many of us would find ourselves. And so today in our passage, we actually find a very similar situation. As we've been reading through the book of 2 Samuel, we've been observing this man named David. You guys remember David, David and Goliath, the slingshot, you know, the lion and the bear. David and Saul and Jonathan, all of this story of this man who was a shepherd boy come to be a king. Now, in Old Testament time and pre-lottery time, this was like the equivalent of winning the lottery. David goes from rags to riches. He goes from poverty to a palace, from anonymity to authority, and finds himself in a place where he has everything that he could possibly want. He has a big house and possessions and authority and power, and David finds himself in a place where really everything is available to him, and he really doesn't have anything that he could possibly want is already his. Like, he's made it. This begs the question, right? Like, because some of us, you know, not all the time, but some of us live in seasons of life where, man, it feels like God has blessed us and he's been good to us, and I really lack nothing, and I feel like everything is going great in my life. And so a big overarching question today is that when we find ourselves in those seasons of life, what truths are critical for me to remember when life is going great? It's our big overarching question today. What truths are critical for us to remember when life is going well? Like, when God has blessed me and I just, everything is going right in my life, and this seems to be the more rare season of life, but when everything is going well in my life, what truths are critical for me to remember? The first thing that we're going to see here is that we need to remember that God is the one who blesses us, right? That God is the one who blesses us. So when things are going right in our life and when everything seems to be going well, the truth that we need to keep at the center is that Jesus, that God, Lord God Almighty, is the one who has blessed me with all of these things. So we're going to see this here in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Reading verses 1 through 9a. If you guys have a Bible, a print Bible, you guys are more than welcome to open up there. If not, we're going to have it here on the screen. But 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 1 through 9a. And so the Word of God reads like this. It says, "Now when the king lived in the house of, when the king lived in his house, and the Lord had given him rest from his surrounding enemies, the king said to Nathan the prophet, 'See, now I dwell in a house of cedar, but the ark of God dwells in a tent.' And Nathan said to the king, 'Go, do all that is in your heart, for the Lord is with you.' But the same night the word of the Lord came to Nathan, 'Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? I have not lived in a house since the day I brought up the people of Israel from Egypt to this day, but I have been moving about in a tent for my dwelling. In all places where I have moved with all the people of Israel, did I speak a word with any of the judges of Israel, whom I commanded to shepherd my people Israel, saying, why have you not built me a house of cedar? Now therefore, thus you shall say to my servant David, thus says the Lord of hosts, I took you from the pasture, from following the sheep, that you should be prince over my people. And I have been with you wherever you went, and have cut off all your enemies from before you." Amen. Let's go ahead and just seek the Lord in prayer before we open up God's word together. So Lord, we just thank you so much, God. God, I as we open up your word here, Lord Jesus, I just pray, Lord, that your Holy Spirit would illuminate today the truths found in these scriptures. God, I realize, Lord, that I'm not able, Lord God, to understand the great depths and truth of your word, and so I need help from your Holy Spirit. And so, Lord, we just invite your Holy Spirit into this room today, and we ask, oh Lord, would you speak to us, God, wherever we're at today. Maybe there are people whose lives are going well, or maybe there's some people here whose lives are on the opposite end of the spectrum. Lord, would you speak to us today? God, would your word be living and active in this room, Lord Jesus? And would it cut through all of the mess of our lives, Lord Jesus, and pierce directly into our hearts, Lord Jesus? And God, so we just love you, God, and we come expecting this from you, Lord. In the name of Jesus that I pray, and everybody says, amen. Amen. Well, as we continue the narrative through the book of 2 Samuel, for those of you guys who've been following us for the past couple of weeks, you know that David, as he ascends to kinghood, that there was a lot of conflict and a lot of controversy in the kingdom, and all of those things just gradually get resolved, and David finds himself as the leader of the United Kingdom of Israel. and he establishes Jerusalem as the capital. He brings the Ark of the Covenant into the capital as if to say, God is the one who truly rules, right? That I'm not the king over this nation, but we're a nation that follows after the Lord God Almighty. And so he brings the Ark of the Covenant inside. That was last week. And David has found himself in a place of prosperity. Right, and just a quick spoiler, if you guys have never read through the book of 2 Samuel, know that this is as good as it gets, right? That David is living at the zenith of his life right now, that there is no better, there's like his life doesn't get any better than this. And so David, the Bible says here that says, when the king lived in his house, I want to just spend a little bit of time here because a lot of us are used to homes that are, we've got drywall and bad pipes and, we don't live in palaces. And so when David says that when the Bible says that David lived in a house, it's not talking about a house. We're talking about a palace. The Bible tells us that there were kings and different governments and authorities and places that had sent all of these gifts to King David, and David built this beautiful home for himself. We're talking Phoenician architecture. We're talking that he has all of the best things built out of cedar wood, all of these precious stones and metals and all of these beautiful things going in to build his house. And David is living in absolute luxury. He's made it. He's won the lottery. And as David has taken a look at his life and looking at the many blessings that God has given him, he goes and he looks at the Ark of the Covenant and he sees that it's in a tent. Remember the last week we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, the representation of the presence of God, that the people of Israel were able to look at the Ark of the Covenant and they were able to say to themselves, God is with me because he has given me this symbol that his presence is in my midst. And so the very symbol of the presence of God is sitting in a tent. And David looks and he says, there's something wrong here. That God has this shabby little tent, and yet here I am living in luxury. And so David has this desire in his heart. He goes and he's like, I want to build a house, a temple for the Ark of the Covenant, for the symbol of the presence of God. And what an amazing heart David has here. And the Bible says that he goes to this man named Nathan the prophet. Now, Nathan is what you would call a court prophet. The idea here is that as kings would rule over the nation of Israel, that the good ones, the good kings, would desire to set up around themselves men of God who could hear the voice of God, so that when they have like a question or when things kind of get tough and they need some wisdom, they would go to this prophet, they would go to this man of God, and they'd say, hey, can you go seek the Lord for a little bit? Can you go talk to God and see what he has to say about this thing? And like, what a great practice that is, right? To have men and women of God in your life around you whom you can go and seek the counsel of God. Like, I have several of those people in my life. I hope that you have those people in your life as well, and that you're actively taking advantage of that resource of the church that God has given you. So we see here that David does that, and so he goes and he asks Nathan the prophet, and Nathan says, David, I don't even need to seek God on this. Right? Like, what you desire to do is a good thing. Go and do it. Because God is with you. Like, you have this desire to do something for the Lord. Go and do it. And we see here that Nathan actually doesn't receive that word from the Lord, but speaks it to David nonetheless. And before we hate on Nathan, I just want to say that if I were in Nathan's shoes, I probably would have done the same thing. Like, Nathan gives David some great advice. See, if you were to come up to me and you were to say, Jacob, hey, man, I feel like God is calling me to volunteer in middle school ministry, I wouldn't go pray to Jesus. I wouldn't go pray to the Holy Spirit and say, God, are they really like called to serve? I would say, yes, please, come on. Volunteer in middle school ministry. And so that's exactly the same heart that Nathan has. He's like, I don't need to seek God on this. I so clearly know the answer. And so Nathan tells David to go and do all that is in his heart because God is with him. But yet God has actually a different word to give to Nathan. And so later on that night, the Lord speaks to Nathan. I want you guys to hear what he says here. He says, but that same night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan. Go and tell my servant David, thus says the Lord, would you build me a house to dwell in? David, would you build me a house to dwell in? Me, God Almighty. the one of whom it said, the heavens are his throne and the earth is his footstool. The one whom the scripture says, in him we live, move, and have our being. The God of this universe, the Bible says in Psalms that he breathed the stars out of his nostrils, right? That he created the heavens and the earth. Would you really build that God a house to live in? Like, really, like, what would you build it out of? Right? Like, what are you going to go and do and build a house for this kind of God? And so, and I just want to just pause right here, because it kind of sounds like God is saying, no, don't build me a house. That's not the case. We actually see that the house is really built for the Ark of the Covenant, and that it is instrumental to God's redemptive plan for the course of mankind. It is instrumental to the scriptures. And so we see that God's heart is for a temple to be built, but he just wants to get one thing straight. Can you really build me a house that's going to be able to contain all of this, right? Can you really build a house that's going to contain the glory of God? Listen, the heavens can't contain the glory of God. The earth can't even begin to even ascribe the appropriate glory that belongs to Lord Jesus Christ. And so are you going to really try and build me a house? Come on, King David. Like, I love your heart here, but there is no house that can hold me. There is no home that could ever show the greatness and worth that I have. There's no building that you can ever build that would ever be able to contain me, David. And so God says to David, right, are you really going to build me a house? Like, I'd never asked for it. I never really wanted one, right? And like, what are you gonna build it out of? Like, what are you gonna build it out of? Everything that you would go and grab is already mine. Like, consider this for a second. The ore that was used to build the precious metals were ores that God had founded long ago when he formed the earth and caused the land to be formed and separated from the seas. That the cedar and the wood that David would use to build the frame of the house was cedar and wood that God had caused to sprout out as a sapling from a seed from the earth, and that God is the one who gave life to those things. Really, David, would you build me a house? Everything is already mine. And the thing that I love about this is that David actually understands this later on in life. When he goes and he assembles the materials to build the temple of God, he goes and he says, of your own I have offered you. He says, I'm giving you all of these things to build this amazing temple, but really it's all yours anyways. So God is saying, you can't build me a house. There's no way that you can build something that would ever come close to housing me, but I'm going to let you do it anyways. But let me just get one thing straight before you do, David. I have been with you wherever you went. I'm the one who took you out of the pasture from the sheep. I'm the one who has elevated you. I'm the one who has blessed you. I'm the one who's given you everything that you have. You are a king today because I have granted you that kingship. And I want you guys to understand one thing today, church, that God is the one who blesses. That God is the one who blesses. When you come unto good times in your life, know this, that it is God, that God is the one who placed you there. That it wasn't you. I think we kind of live in this sort of, you know, American dream, pulled myself up by my own bootstraps kind of mentality. And yes, there is something to be said of working hard and doing things with all of your strength and being ambitious, but know that when you go and achieve those things, that it wasn't you. That really, God is the one who blesses. And so, when we come into good times in our lives, right, what critical truths do we need to remember? Well, firstly, we found that it is God is the one who blesses. And then secondly, we're going to find that God's blessings are deeply purposeful. So what truths are critical for us to remember when life is going well? Well, we need to remember that God's blessings are deeply purposeful. That the things that God has given you, the blessings, all of the things that he's provided for you in life, that those are deeply purposeful. And God is working something out, just like that song we sang, for his glory and your good. And we're going to see that here in verses 9b all the way through 17. If you would open up your Bibles again, we'll have it here on the screen. And here's what the word of God reads. It says, "And I will make a great name like the name of the great ones on earth. And I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them so that they may dwell in their own place and be disturbed no more. And violent men shall afflict them no more as formerly. From the time that I appointed judges over my people Israel, and I will give you rest from all your enemies. Moreover, the Lord declares to you that the Lord will make you a house." I want you guys to really pay attention to that part. "The Lord will make you a house, and when your days are fulfilled and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your offspring after you who shall come from your body, and I will establish his kingdom, and he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. And I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. And when he commits iniquity, I will discipline him with the rod of men, with the stripes of the son of men. But my steadfast love will not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before you. And your house and your kingdom shall be made forever before me. Your throne shall be established forever in accordance with all these words and accordance with the vision Nathan spoke to David." And so we see here that David, just to kind of summarize the narrative thus far, that David goes before God and says, "God, I have a desire to build you a house." Right, and he goes and he starts preparing to build this house for God, and God says, "No, like, you know, you're not going to build me a house. We're actually going to see later why that is." Right, and so God says, "No, you're not going to build me a house, but I still want a house to be built. And just know that if you're going to build this house, it's not going to be one that could contain me." And then he goes on to say, "David, you have this desire to bless me, right? But let me flip the script on you. It is me who's going to bless you. It's me who's going to, you want to build a house for me. David, I'm really wanting to build a house for you." And what a beautiful heart of the Father do we see here. Amen. What a beautiful heart, the beautiful heart of God and his precious son, David, do we see here. It kind of reminds me of kind of like a marriage relationship, the relationship between a husband and wife, like a husband is like, "Man, I just want to shower affection and love and give a gift to my wife." And then the wife goes, "Oh man, thank you so much. Here's a gift for you." And have you guys ever experienced that before? Right? Like, you know, a relationship with somebody where it's kind of like living out that Romans 13 principle to outdo one another and showing honor, right? Of like, you know, I love you and you love me and we're desiring to bless each other. And this is the heart that we see here between David and the Lord. And now the obvious winner is God, right? Like, you can't outgive God. And so God is the obvious winner in this battle of affection here, in this battle of blessing each other. And so we see that David has this desire to bless God, and God says, "No, David, I really have a desire to bless you. And I'm going to build a house and I'm going to build a kingdom for you." And I just want to take a bit of time to step way back a little bit. And I want to talk to you guys not only about just the big overview, broad look at the book of 2 Samuel, but I want to take a big, broad, bird's eye view of the entire scriptures. See, the book of 2 Samuel is really a story about a failed kingdom. And I know that's kind of weird to say as we're kind of stepping into the zenith of David's kingship over Israel. Like, what are you talking about, Jacob? It seems like everything is going super well. How could things possibly go wrong? Let me tell you, for the next couple of chapters, things go terribly wrong, okay? And so really, the book of 2 Samuel is a story about a failed kingdom. The people of Israel, not being content with having God as their ruler, goes up to the prophet Samuel and they say, "Samuel, we desire to have a king over us." And so God gives them a king. His name is Saul, right? A king after the people, after the heart of the people. And the Bible tells us how all of that ends in tragedy, and how this king Saul was oppressive towards them and didn't lead them well. And there was all of this calamity that happened in the nation of Israel. And so then God removes Saul, and then rather than giving them another king after the heart of the people, that God gives them a heart, God gives them a king after his own heart, in the King David. Right? That God gives the people of Israel a king after God's own heart. And so David comes and he establishes his rule as king. And then we see here that even this kingdom fails. We see that even this king makes mistakes. And that even this king doesn't live up to expectations. And so really, the story of 2 Samuel isn't pointing us towards King David at all. No, rather it's pointing us to the King of Kings and to the Lord of Lords, to God Almighty. That this is the king that this book is pointing towards. And so God says to David, he says, hey, you want to build a house for me? Let me tell you something. I'm really trying to build a house for you. And he says, there will be a house that's built, and it's going to come from your seed. It's going to come from your line. And so he gives them a prophetic word, right? So this is from the Holy Spirit of something that's going to take place. And whenever you guys read prophetic words in the Old Testament, there's this idea of prophetic fulfillment. It's called a both near and far fulfillment, okay? We see this all throughout the scriptures, right? Whenever you come across oftentimes when you come across a Old Testament prophecy, that there is both a near and far fulfillment of that prophetic word. And so God gives David this prophetic word that there is going to be a son that comes from his line that's going to build him a house, right? And this house is going to house the presence of God, right? And that God is going to establish, and I want you guys to hear this right now, that God is going to establish a forever kingdom through this king. And I don't know about you, but that is a promise that intrigues me. That God is going to set a forever king. And if you're the nation of Israel, a country that has been battered and bruised and oppressed and taken advantage of time and time after again, this idea of a forever king, a rule and reign that has no end is so appealing. This just sounds too good to be true. And so God says, I'm going to set up a kingdom that will never end. And so he tells them that he's going to build this house. And so we see both a near and far fulfillment of this passage. We see a near fulfillment of this passage because David has a son through a wife named Bathsheba, and his name is Solomon. You guys remember King Solomon? Right? The wisest guy to ever, and I don't say wise guy like derogatorily, like, you know, he's just like legitimately a wise guy, right? And so the wisest guy who'd ever walked the earth, right? He walked in wisdom that King Solomon would go and he would build a beautiful temple that would house the Ark of the Covenant. Right, and that it would be this beautiful place that many people would call one of the seven ancient wonders of the world. Priced in the billions if you were to go and estimate it in today's currency. And so Solomon builds this temple and he has a kingdom and a rule that is great, but it comes to an end. And so that really can't be the ultimate fulfillment of this passage. And so we see a far fulfillment that is far better than the one that was in the near. We see a king that's better than King David. We see a ruler that's more wise than King Solomon. We see a temple that is more beautiful than even the temple in Jerusalem. And a kingdom whose rule and reign will never end. And that this fulfillment is found in King Jesus. Amen. That this fulfillment is found in a King Jesus, that the scriptures, that all of 2 Samuel is pointing you towards this messianic figure, towards this king that's going to come, and that he is going to rule and reign, and his name is King Jesus, which brings us to our big idea for the message today, that there is a king coming, and his name is Jesus. The scripture tells us that there is a kingdom coming. And can I tell you that the ruler and king of this kingdom, that his name is Jesus Christ, the Lord of Lords, the King of Kings. That you can bet on this today that there is a king coming and his name is Jesus. As we see the prophetic word go out that David, you desire to build a house for me, but let me tell you the reality. Let me tell you the truth. I'm going to build a house from you. That out of your, and when you say house, I mean it like in like the regal sense, like, you know, like the house of Caesar, or like the house of the Tudors, like this long family lineage of people. He says, from your house, from your offspring, I'm going to build a kingdom, and it is going to come through your offspring, and that this king, he is coming, and we know his name to be Jesus. And so God goes and he gives this prophetic word, and 1,000 years after this day was born in a manger, unassuming and unknown to everybody around him, was born this king named Jesus. And we see here in the scriptures, it says, for us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end, and on the throne of David and over his kingdom, to establish it and to uphold it. That this is the promise that God has given to his people, that there is a king that is coming, and that his rule and his reign will have no end, and that the government will be upon his shoulders. Some of you guys are sitting in this room today and you're saying, Jacob, I want that. That sounds so good to me, because Jacob, I've been let down by the government. I've seen wars, I've seen oppression, I've seen suffering in this world, I've been disappointed. And I look at this world and I say, is this really what this world has to offer? Can I tell you guys today that this entire world is waiting for the redemption of Jesus Christ? That the entire world is sitting in anticipation for this king to come. Here the scriptures tell us in Romans, it says, for creation waits eagerly, longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. That this is what the world is waiting on. If you've been disappointed in life, Maybe a father has let you down. Could I tell you that there is a perfect father who will never, ever abandon you or leave you or ever let you down? As we look at this war-torn world, where so much conflict, just go look in the Middle East. Just go look at Ukraine. Just go look at any single part of the world. This world is in desperate need of a king, and this is the hope that the scripture gives us. As the people of Israel looked at their imperfect king, as they looked at King David, who they would see as an adulterer, and who they would see as an unfit father, and who they would see as an unfit leader, and they would see the nation collapse under his rule, that as the world looked at King David and they were unsatisfied and they said, we need a new king, so we too look at our world and say, we need a new king. And the good news today is that his name is Jesus, and that he's coming back. I don't know where you guys all sit here today with this man named Jesus Christ, but I'm gonna tell you my heartfelt conviction here. This is what I truly believe with all of my heart and all of my soul, that Jesus is coming back, that he's going to establish his kingdom here on this earth, and that he is going to allow his church, his people, to rule and to reign with him. And that if you put your faith in Jesus Christ today, that you get to be a part of that kingdom. And if you're reading this story here today and you're looking at this and you're saying, how do I become a part of that? Jacob, how do I participate in this kingdom that's coming? Can I tell you that Jesus says, that Jesus tells us today, he tells, come to me. Everyone, it's an open invitation into his kingdom. That Jesus has given you an open invitation into his kingdom. How do I enter into that kingdom? How do I receive these promises? Can I tell you today that it's something so simple, something so easy that anybody can do it. Even a child, an elderly person, and everybody in between. If you were to put your faith in Jesus Christ today and say, God, I recognize you as King, and I look forward to your coming, and I put my faith and my trust in you, that you get to be a part of that kingdom. This is the promise that's given us. And this is the hope that we have today. And I don't want you guys to sit on this. I don't want you guys to leave here without considering this reality, that there is a king coming and that his throne is either for you or it is against you. He's coming with a word that's either going to clothe you in righteousness and in dignity and in power and glory, or his word is going to be a sword to you that's going to divide and cut and conquer. There is a king coming. His name is Jesus. Do you submit to his rule today? Are you submitted to his authority? Have you placed your faith in this king, Jesus Christ? Let's go ahead and bow our heads and close our eyes. Lord, we just thank you so much, God, for this amazing promise that we've received from your word, Lord Jesus, that we are awaiting a king, and not just any king, but the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, of whom the scripture says every knee will bow and every tongue confess, whether we recognize it or not in this moment. One day, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, that he is king, that he is ruler over everything, and that with him comes the peace and prosperity of the world. That upon him will be laid the government on his shoulders, and that he will carry every single burden in this world, and that he will make all wrong things right, and he will bring to justice all of the iniquity of the world. And so, God, we humbly wait for that day, Lord Jesus. God, we look forward to it, Jesus. It is, God, the thing that I look forward to most in my life is your coming, Lord Jesus. The establishment, not of the kingdom of man, no, but rather the kingdom of God, which has come through the man, Jesus Christ. And so, God, I just pray for anybody here who has not submitted themselves to that kingship, Lord Jesus. Would today be the day, Lord God, that they would give themselves to you and say, God, I am no longer king over my life. No, Lord Jesus, you are the king. You are king over my life. So God, I just pray, Lord, sure, Holy Spirit would work in this room, Lord Jesus, to establish your kingdom, Lord Jesus, in the hearts of every single person here. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, and everybody says, amen.
All right, thank you, Pastor Jacob. What? Yeah, let's give him a hand. That's right, that was an awesome message. If you just prayed right now with Pastor Jacob to receive Jesus as your Savior, I think the thing you should do next is let someone know. And you can do that by at the conclusion of the service. There's a tent on the patio that says new here. Go to that tent and let them know that you've decided to follow Jesus. Or you could come to the front after the end of the service. We have people up here who are ready to pray with you. And if you're worshiping online, go to campcc.net and click on Next Steps. All right, I want to introduce to you Kevin Tolsma. He is the missionary director for Young Life in our area, and he runs the clubs at our local high schools. And if, as you know, we're doing an initiative this week. We're calling it Pie It Forward, because Young Life, they put on these clubs at the high schools where they invite kids to come, and they offer them a free slice of pizza. It's like the bait, I guess, they draw them in with. And we're trying to collect all their pieces for this coming year, or make a big dent in it at least through collecting gift cards and such. And I'll tell you more about that in a minute. But while Kevin's here, tell us about Young Life and the ministry here in Camarillo.
Yeah, that's kind of, it's kind of funny about the pizza being the bait. Every year we do a fundraiser, and once, and we'll have a couple kids come up and share how Young Life's impacted them. And one year a kid came up, he said, yeah, he goes, I came because of the pizza, but he goes, you know what, I came to know Jesus. Yeah. And so it's just, it's great. I feel like the biggest thing that will surprise people about Young Life, maybe they've heard of it. I feel like before I really got involved, I kind of knew they did camps, didn't know a whole lot. But we're in on campuses every week sharing the gospel to students. We have what we call Young Life Club, and it's one of the many clubs on campus. And we've been at Camp High for 12 years. We've been at Rancho Campania since they opened their doors. and it didn't happen overnight, but we've established a really good relationship with the administration at both high schools and with many of the teachers, and we're very welcome there. And I'm really thankful for how God's worked this past school year. We kind of rebuilt after COVID. When the schools reopened, it was like starting all over again. We had like just a handful of kids at our first meeting, but we've steadily grown. This year especially, I would say pre-COVID, we would average clubs around 40 to 50 students. This year, starting this, it grew in the fall, and I'd say in the early spring, we were already averaging 90 students. The gym's the only place big enough for us now to have our club meetings, and we maxed out at 123 students, near the end of the year, one of the largest clubs. Yeah. And I've had people say, well, what are you doing differently, or how has that come about? And I go, you know what? It's just God. It's His Spirit. He's drawing kids in. We're doing the same thing we've always done. We're really big on going to where the students are. So when we try to do stuff on campus, we do a lot of contact work to meet new kids. We serve Gatorade. And if there's an opportunity to coach, we'll do that in different areas. I help with strength training conditioning with a football team at Cam High, and I get to meet a lot of students that way. But it's just amazing what God is doing. We truly are going after, and we get kids who would never step into a church, kids from unchurched families. And it's kind of fun, too, because sometimes over time, the rest of the family starts getting involved with their faith and go return to church or whatever. So it's just God's doing some amazing things.
That's the big deal here is we're trying to reach kids in this church too, but we reach the ones who come to us. He's going to them, and he's able to share the gospel with people who will never step foot in here until they've talked to him. And I know I've been talking to many of you who Young Life's impacted your lives. In fact, even at our elder meeting, several of our elders said it was instrumental in their faith journey, their time in Young Life in high school. So we're trying to pay it forward and give back and support them in what they're doing. And we can have an impact in reaching kids through Jesus through a simple thing like buying a pizza. How can we pray for Young Life?
So one of the biggest prayer requests I would say we have is for more adult leaders. Leaders come and go. We had two key leaders that towards the end of the school year, just for different reasons, said, hey, we're not gonna be able to continue on next school year. And they're both at Rancho Campania. And we need more leaders, and I trust that God will raise up the adult leaders that we need. And then also we're doing our fundraiser in the fall, October 23rd. I have information about that. But you can be praying that would draw in people who we're trying to broaden our base of supporters. So just that people who maybe would love to get behind what we're doing, whether it be financial or prayer, or even stepping in to help out, that would help draw people in for all that we're doing.
All right. Thanks, Kevin, for coming out and letting us know about your ministry.
Yeah.
All right. All right, so this is the last day for the initiative. Many of you brought gift cards already for Little Caesars, and maybe you came prepared to do that today. If you forgot your gift card or forgot to get a gift card, you can also give financially, either cash, check, or if you want to give online, go to camcc.net, click on Give, and then choose Community Impact as the gift. And if you want to go ahead and do that today, go out on the patio and see us out there, and we have a free slice of Little Caesar's pizza for you. You have to throw a dart and pop a balloon on our giant pizza on the patio. So we're going to receive our offering now. There's three ways to participate, as you can see on the screen, whether you go through our website, the offering box, and if you'd like to text to give, just scan that QR code and it will open up your text app and you can give there. All right, and then also, you could use the website for giving to the Community Impact Initiative benefiting Young Life. All right, before we go, let's check out this video. What's coming up next?
Hi, CamCC. I'm Joey Laubacher, and I serve on the prayer team. If you are a guest today, go check out the new to CamCC tent on the patio and receive a $5 Starbucks gift card. If it's your second time, make sure you redeem your $10 In-N-Out gift card at the tent as well. If you need a Bible, have questions about our church, or you decided to follow Jesus for the first time today, head on over to the tent. If you're watching online, go to campcc.net/next steps to go through our guest process. August 6th through 10th, middle school camp. Come enjoy kayaking, swimming, archery tag, ropes courses, team competitions, preaching, and much more at Sugar Pine Christian Camp. To register, go to campcc.net/middle school, and for more info, contact Jacob at campcc.net. August 23rd, men's fishing trip. Enjoy some deep sea fishing at Hook's Landing in Ventura. Bring your own gear to save some money or rent all the gear that's needed. Register at campcc.net/men or for more info, contact Brandon at campcc.net. August 28th, Charlie Hall. Our next concert will be one of the founding artists of the Passion Movement and Dove Award winner, Charlie Hall. This will be an intimate evening of worship with only 250 tickets available. Get yours before they're gone. For more info, go to campcc.net/events or email katie@campcc.net. October 3rd through 5th, Women's Fall Retreat. Enjoy a wonderful retreat in Malibu at Mount Crags Retreat Center with special guest and six-time female vocalist of the year, Mary James. Come ready to rest, grow, abide, and connect with other women. Register at campcc.net/women or for more info, contact Heather at campcc.net. If you need prayer today, we have our prayer team up at the front willing to pray with you at the conclusion of the gathering. To stay in the loop of what's going on at CAMCC, check your email for our weekly newsletter, as well as follow us on Instagram, like us on Facebook, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. For more info on any of these events, go to CAMCC.net.
Well, good morning. My name is Angela Luz, and I'm part of the worship team here, and I'm also on the prayer team. Would you stand with me for the send-off? Well, thank you this morning to Jacob Salas for that great message. What a great reminder that God always has a plan that's better than we can hope for, because he is our hope. He is our King. He has come and he is coming again. And as Jacob shared, if you this morning want to give your life to Jesus, or maybe you did that as he was speaking, we'd love to come alongside with you. We'd love to celebrate with you. The prayer team will be up here afterwards, or you can go on out to our CAMCC tent outside, and we'd love to celebrate that. If you're heading out today, grab a donut, grab a coffee, say hello to somebody you haven't met before, and we'll see you back next Sunday.